Had completely forgot about it, but there was a school in Middletown that a student brought a gun to school, and I had a job there this summer. I was offered the job. I wanted to take it, and I said, let me just clear it up with my husband first, and I will call you back in 5 minutes. Doug was out of town. He was in Missouri, and I called him. I'm like, they offered me the job, and he said, Renee, I want you to take it. What? It was more money. It got me out of where I was. And he said, Renee, I don't know. I just have a feeling about that. You know, and that was God. That was completely God. And God said, I know what's going on in your life. He said, I'll be right there with you to get you through. And I knew that. God has never let me down. Ever. And, you know, I listened to my husband. And he put me in another position. I don't know how much time had passed by, but I still got another position that's amazing. But, you know, I was just thinking about that this morning. All the things that's going on in this world, and Doug and I were even talking about the spirits that's on these kids that I see every single day. And I know that I'm that light that gets to meet them, yeah. And I know that I'm there for a reason, but I'm ready to get out of here. I'm ready to just take all these people and just go home and get out of this place. In the meantime, though, I know that I've got God directing every single step that I take.
Amen. Amen. I was thinking about that assurance, you know, the blessed assurance. And these doctrines, that's what it brings, you know, because we have an understanding of where we stand with God, where what he's promised, what he's assured us. You know, and we go through life and hear all these other testimonies, how God is keeps you and keeps you and keeps you and keeps you. You know, it's not just here. This revelation goes with you. You take it home, and you can't get away from it. That's the thing of love. I can't get away from it. It speaks to me always. And, you know, the good times, the bad times. You know not to get too excited about the good times. You know not to get too excited about the bad times. You know, God's got it. And that assurance, that blessed assurance that he has. I wonder if we could sing that. had sang it for a while. To sit back, you know, even as a wife, as a natural wife, to know you have that assurance. Know the light, bill's going to be paid. Know you're going to have something to eat. Know the kids are going to be taken care of. You know, sometimes maybe take it for granted, you know, and we as Christians do the same thing, I think. We get worried and we get stressed out over things that he's already assured us he's got, you know. It's like a wife worrying about the bills, you know. He's already assured you he's going to pay the bills. He already assured you you're going to have a roof over your head. He's going to meet every need, and so has God assured us. He's got every need met. Amen.
Page 176.
You know, I was sitting here thinking, in 1966, that's when God led me in this message. Amen. Now, I was preaching before then. I was preaching, well, Pentecostal. Then I came into Apostolic, and I pastored in the Apostolic Doctrine. 1966, and Brother Branham went home in 1955, and right after he went home, God dealt with me about this message. Brother Spencer's son, he come into it, or was trying to come into it, and he said, Brother Jules, I want to talk to you about Brother Branham and his message. I said, well, so he kindly introduced me to Brother Branham's message. Then I, 1966, I came into this message in Malachi 4. I didn't know anything about Revelation 10. Facts, but I hadn't met anybody else knowed anything about it. Right. It was all that we knew was Malachi 4. That's all we knew. Yeah, I traveled around, and I found nobody knowed anything about Revelation 10. It was Malachi 4. So I went on the radio preaching Malachi 4. I never forget, the seed is not aired with a shock. That was my message. Seed is, that's all I know, seed is not aired with the shock. I preached Dayton radio. I went on the radio in Xenia. Now, wasn't nobody going on the radio, not in this message, back then, Brother Moore. And so I looked at this message, and I studied it, how Brother Branham brought it. Brother Branham wasn't preaching Revelation 10 back then. No. And now I'm trying to show you, way back there, Brother Branham was preaching Malachi 4. That's all he was preaching. He didn't know anything about Revelation 10. Neither did I. 66, I came in this message from Apostolic. I was in the Apostolic denomination. And so I looked at this message, and, well, Malachi 4 was very strong back then. And I was so happy to see it. So I preached Malachi 4, went on the radio, and 1966. That's when I came in this message, in 1966. And so I preached her in Dayton, Ohio. And so I went on the radio and in Xenia. And I was burning because Malachi 4 was something great. Oh my, you could tear the house down with it. And I preached all I knew, 66. And I was burning, so 73. Now remember, 7 years till 73. Now 73. So 7 years I preached Malachi 4. That's all I knew. Facts about it, that's all everybody knew. Facts about it, Revelation 10, far as I know, I was the first one that brought it out, Brother Moore. Then I went to Tucson, and I preached Revelation 10 there in Tucson. 400 ministers, think about it, was in Tucson, Prairie Greens Church. Somebody turned my name in. And Perry said, Brother Earl, how much time do you need? That was strange, him asking me that. How much time do you need? Said, somebody turn your name in and request you to preach. I said, Perry, I didn't come out here to really preach. I come out here to hear the ministers. Now, they was supposed to be 12 ministers. And she said, somebody turn your name in. And I'm already booked up. That's what he said. I'm already booked up, 12 ministers preaching. I said, Perry, you don't have to give me any time. No, he said, since somebody turned your name in, I'm going to work you in. He said, here's what he said. The ministers from overseas, he said, they don't preach long. Back then, probably 10 or 15 minutes. That's all they had. So he said, I'm going to work you in. I don't know when, he said, but be ready. I said, okay. So I was looking forward to preach. And I preached that Brother Branham had two ministries. They said, we never heard that. Out of the 400 ministers, none of them heard Revelation 10. Well, I preached Revelation 10, and they thought, my, you mean there's another ministry beyond Malachi 4? We all was taking in Malachi 4. So I preached Revelation 10. And the brothers from Canada, several brothers from Canada, they preached. And Terry Stroll said, I've never heard this. Said, until you brought it out, I want your tape. And at that time, remember, nobody got your tape unless you gave it away. all 12 ministers had to give their tape away or you didn't get it. That's how strict it was. So I said, Revelation 10, I want to talk Malachi 4 and Revelation 10. They said, we never heard it. And that was an early part of my ministry. Now, Don and y'all know, when I come over here, I come over here preaching Revelation 10. And so here I was, God burning in my heart, two ministries. And one of them was Revelation 10, and Brother Branham was Malachi 4. Now, y'all know that. Malachi 4, it was spread it all over. And God burned in my heart. And here I'm, ninth grade education. And so God burnt in my heart. They said, we never heard Revelation 10. Eddie Biscoe was one of Brother Branham's main ministry. And Eddie Biscoe at that time was just a young man. That's all he was. And so Brother Branham, he tried to get Eddie Biscoe introduced. And Eddie Biscoe didn't know anything about the message. He was just, a young man. So here I was preaching Revelation 10 and Malachi 4. We was preaching two messages. And I got on it, and I preached it. It spread it all over, Brother Don. Revelation 10 went out. And they said, we had never heard it. So Revelation 10 was a big message. But nobody hardly wanted Don. They wanted to put me down. They said, who told you that there was two ministries? I said, God told me. Revelation 10. So Brother Branham got on it and he went out. But far as I know, I was the first one, even beyond Brother Branham. And now y'all wouldn't realize that Brother Branham, step by step, he began to see it. And he began to preach it. And so Eddie Biscoe was his main man. So here I was, pastor of this church. God burnt my heart, Brother Moore. And I wasn't ashamed. I thought, I see this. But 7 years, I preached Malachi 4 from 66 to 73. 73, my eyes become open. And I seen Revelation 10 in 1973. 7 years, I preached nothing but Malachi 4. And that's all I heard. God bless me. And I come out. I preached on the radio. And nobody else in this message, as I know of, wasn't on the radio in Brother Branham's message. So here I was preaching Revelation 10 and Malachi 4. And it lit up Revelation 10, took this place over. Absolutely. If y'all, some of you in 73, Brother Moore didn't come in until 80. So here I am in 73 preaching Revelation 10 and Malachi 4, two ministries. And I never heard it. But God burnt my heart. I just wanted y'all to know that 1973 is when this message really struck me. Other words, I just had Malachi 4. But that's all everybody was teaching, Malachi 4. So here I was, 73. 7 years I preached just only Malachi 4. But Malachi 4 was a great message back then. Oh my. Everybody was just Malachi 4. And God bless. Here I was. I was over the hill. Brother Sexton said, Brother Childers, come and take this big church. He called it Big Church. It was big to all of us back then. Said, take this big church over and leave that down on the hill. Brother Isaac, I'll never forget. Brother Isaac didn't even want to come over. Isaac said, I want to stay over the hill. But he said, we'll take a vote on it. Naturally, I was stirred up, but I thought, really, should I come over here? A whole lot of people didn't want to come over here, Brother Moore, at that time. And so I voted, let's go to the big church. I said, I'm willing to leave the church on the hill. And Brother Sexton said, Brother Childers, I want you to take it over, be the pastor. So I said, okay. So I come a long way. I've come a long way, Brother Moore. And Revelation 10 become a light to us. It really did. Nobody else was preaching. Here I was, only man I know of, preaching Revelation 10, a second message. And God stirred my heart, and 40 years, but counting 7 in Malachi 4, but rest of the time, I preach Revelation 10, because it was the only thing that had any life in it back then. So, I'm going to shut up. But I want you to know, Brother Childers has come a long, long way. And how did I, in 7 years, I'm preaching on the radio, Xenia and Dayton. And then Brother Reggie finally come out here. And Brother Reggie, he was on the radio. I didn't know it. And Sister Barney, you well know her. She was your best friend. And she was on the radio, a woman preacher. Following, who was she following? Right here. And at that time, I had never met Sister Barney. Sister Barney said, Brother Childers, I'm following Brother Childers. And she would come on the radio following me. It's amazing, a woman preacher. But she was so great. She was so lovely. And you know what? She wouldn't follow in a sense. She said, I don't want to lead. I want to follow Brother Childers. Brother Childers has got the message. And so she was a singer, very good at it. And, well, I could go on and on. But tell me somebody else, 40 years. 40 years, you tell me. And then add to that 50, 60, I'm still preaching. Then I told Brother Moore, you take it. I was getting pretty tired. 60 years I'm preaching, not 40 years, I pastored 40 years and still taking it, you know. Then I got Brother Moore in. And look where Brother Moore's come. I mean, a long ways. And God has blessed us with a second pastor, with Jeremiah backing him up. Here I am, backing off. And God has blessed this church. Amen. This congregation, you can say what you want. Let me say it like this. There ain't been a man like me. That's the truth. That's saith the Lord. There ain't been a man that's preached like I preached. Put it on. I preached till I couldn't preach. Early. And here I was preaching Revelation 10 and God anointing this brother. And here I was. I lost my dad in 73. He went home. And he said, Mom, follow Earl. Earl's got the message. You follow him. She said, okay. So until she went home, she followed me. And you fellas, who'd you follow? You followed me. Is that right? And I would get up and preach like the house on fire. So God bless you. I don't desire taking over the pulpit anymore. I don't, Brother Moore. Since you want it, no, I don't want it. So Brother Moore had it by himself. And I said, he kept asking me, do you want it? I said, Brother Moore, I don't want it. I'm done. And I've been done. But that don't mean I don't know what the truth is. You know, you just get tired. I was tired. I was wore out. Sister Rawl, Judith's mother. Now, they know that I preach. I preached in the duty. I burnt everything. Sister Rawl, she loved me so much. She thought there was nothing like me. Then she got sick. And she went home. Judy's mother. I helped preach her funeral. God bless her. There was never a woman that meant more to me than Sister Rawl. She would take me by the hand and lead me to the van. A lot of times she would do that. She loved me so much. And Judy has took her place. God bless you, Judy. Hicks, you come in. Hicks come in. Hicks come out and took me out and bought me something. He wouldn't even let me pay. Here was Saturday. So Hicks is a real man. Judy is a real girl. So God bless you. I'm going to turn it over to the song leader, Brother Moore. Tell us what it is.
Amen. 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 God bless you, Brother Childers. Real quick announcement and housekeeping. This Friday the 27th, 7 p.m., we're going to be at Brother Jeremiah's house doing our fall party. And then also as far as housekeeping, the organ, prior to service, we're going to just have Pastor Moore or Sister Clarice turn on the organ in the morning.
It's got a sequence the way this thing turns on. If you don't do it right, you'll break it. And I keep finding it wrong. So I don't know who's doing it, so just let us turn it on.
Sure. Yeah. We don't want to break any of it. So that's my two things there.
Blessed Assurance, page 176.
Amen.
Blessed Assurance.
Praising my Savior all the time. visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love.
Yes,
this is my story. Oh, this is
submission. All is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. I'm watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness and lost in His love. Oh, this is my story. Oh, yes, this is my song. I am praising my Savior. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, this is our story. Lord, you come in this hour to let us know what the real story is. That it's more than just some simple move, but it was a plan that you had from before the foundation of the world. And you come in this last day after the plan has been completed, after the story has been walked through and lived out. Lord, you come in the last day to remove the cover off of it. And you let us clearly see what it was that you were doing all along. Now this is our story, Lord, and we're thankful to be a part of the story, on the part of the play that we get to be a part of, Lord, the bride of Jesus Christ. You don't hide anything from us, but you reveal it to us. Father, we come this morning and we lift our cups to you, Lord, emptied out, ready for you to fill it with whatever it is that you'd have us to have today. I've opened up the word before us, Lord. The people are waiting. Lord, you said where two and three are gathered, you'd be in the midst. Father, all the elements are here for you to speak to our hearts. Now, Lord, we ask you to do so, Lord. We bring Trevor before you this morning, Lord. The parents called me this morning and asked for special prayer for him. Lord, you'll move in his behalf and touch his body. Ask you to bring strength to him, that, Lord, he'll move and he'll be able to overcome this sickness that he's had on him. Father, we pray that you'll bring total deliverance to his body. We bring Mac before you, Lord, this morning also. Lord, he continually needs a prayer, needs a touch from you. We won't give up. We won't lay down. We won't get back off your word. Lord, you said, by your stripes we are healed. And Lord, we are the bride of Jesus Christ, and we believe your word, and we'll stand right there. Ask you to touch our elders, Lord.
Lord, they don't sometimes feel well, but Lord, they press and they come and they've been an example to us that, Lord, through it all, that, Lord Jesus, you're still the one that they want to hear from. Ask you to touch this waiting congregation. Help us, Lord, to appreciate this message with everything that lies within us. Help us not to take lightly those things that you're bringing before us. But to with all sincerity in our hearts and our lives, give everything to you. Knowing that you gave everything for us. That you've done it all. And what you've done in this day, you've come and you've revealed the story. This real story of redemption, not the fairy tale that denominations tries to get us to believe, but you come and reveal to us the real story of redemption and what it all entails. And now, Lord, we just rejoice in it, knowing that, Lord, you've done it all. Nothing that we could do, but, oh, Lord, looking back, we can see your footprints. We can see your fingerprints. We can see where you've had your hand in this thing all the way through. And you leave little nuggets so that we can see that it's been you. You use numerics, you use signs, you use wonders. All those are your footprints and those are your fingerprints showing where you've been there. And when we look back and we can see how real it is, how true it is, Lord, it just makes us rejoice. It helps us to appreciate, Lord, that you've given us. Let us never take it lightly, take it for granted. But every word that you speak, let us take it sincerely. Let us apply it to our lives and make it live out through us. Lord, speak to us this morning. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated.
Up in Canada, when I first come in and all the way through, they didn't want me to preach. The pastors, Eddie Biscoe was one, Hildebrandt, you'd heard of him, Hildebrandt was Brother Sproul, assistant pastor. He left. They split up. Here's what they said. Down here, all they do is fight and fuss and split it up. We don't do that up here in Canada, they said. They end up splitting every way. Hildebrandt left Brother Sproul and took a church, started a church. Brother Sproul, Eddie Biscoe, him and his daughter split up. So they split every way. But start with, they thought, up here in Canada, we don't fight, we don't split up. We got it all. But they end up,
Without God, it'll happen.
It's amazing.
Without God, it'll happen because you got human nature involved.
Yeah.
And only thing that held me and Brother Childers together is the revelation.
That's it.
It isn't because we're buddy-buddy pals, and it's human nature will come between you and anything that you're trying to do. But you know what? If you don't have anything more than that, you will split up.
You will split
up. Because somewhere along the line, somebody's going to say something to do something that goes against your grain. And when they do that, they'll get you. Sister Judy, get a microphone because I want to hear from you.
As I sit here, you know, an old timer, and I listen to, you know, Brother Childers, you know. I'm an example, you know. You hold on.
That's right.
And I am so thankful that God put it in me. Because, you know, I've been hearing these messages that's coming forth.
Yeah.
And I've heard them once before, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But now when I hear them, I see him in a different light.
Amen.
I know what he's. I thought, I've heard this before. But it means so much to me. It makes me stronger.
Right.
I think, oh, God, I thank you.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for letting Brother Childers pass my way.
Amen.
I thank you for everything that you've instilled in me, because I see that desire in my heart. I think, Lord, just make it stronger.
Right.
Make it stronger. Make me stronger.
Amen.
Oh, I want to, you know, I can understand the words that I've heard down through the years. You know,
yeah.
I read where Brother Branham said, seek revelation. It's the most important. I used to not understand that.
Right.
But I do now. That revelation is the only thing that's going to stand.
That's all.
Oh, and that's the only thing that we can hold on to when our bodies are aching, when we see sickness all around us. I can say, Lord, my flesh is weak, but you're strong.
Amen.
And it gives me courage. I think, Lord, I can go on. And when I hear these words, oh, it's just something, I can see something besides myself.
Amen.
Because I'm so weak in the flesh, you know. But this word, people, this word
that's
going to take us through.
That's it.
Oh, and I just want to say, Lord, just open my ears a little bit more. Open my eyes a little bit
Amen.
More. And I can see and keep on seeing. And I'm eventually going to see myself out of here.
Amen.
I love this brother more. I love it. I love you, Brother Childers, for what you've instilled in
Amen.
Me. That I get something in me said, you stay with Brother Childers.
Amen.
Wherever you go, you hang on to those words that he's brought you.
Right.
And it has led me every step of the way. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I don't know what I would do without him. I say every day, Lord, I don't know what I would do without you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I'd be without you. But I thank God that he's kept me. I ain't kept myself, people. It's not us. If
no.
we can ever see that, it ain't nothing that we've done.
Mm-mm.
Not nothing. He has got everything, the good and the bad.
That's
he's
right.
got it all. And I'm so thankful that I see that.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. Give it to Hicks while he's old, since it's so close to him.
I really do appreciate this message.
Amen.
You know, as we was coming over to church, the radio was on, and the lighthouse. You know, it looks back all the time. Where would I be if it wasn't for this lighthouse?
That's right.
You know, and only believe. You know, it just all works together, like I say, for the revelation. And if you don't know it, I can't help you.
Amen.
I love it. Appreciate you.
Amen. Amen. You know, I feel like I grew up with Judy and Hicks, and I've been around them
Amen.
For a long time, and we've been through a lot together. And over the years, going down to preach for the church in Kentucky, I've been in everywhere.
Amen.
The banquet halls. Storefront churches,
yeah.
Judy and Hicks Garage, everywhere they went, I went. I preached in every place they had down there. And so we seems like we've grown up together. It's good to have them here. And I talked to Brother Spivey the other day, and just to check on him. I hadn't talked to him, and just to say hello. So he brings his greetings. He's still on a fire line. I told him I have to get down there. I need to go down and see Trevor at some point anyway. And I told him I'll go by and see him. Maybe spend the weekend down there at some point.
We don't want to forget him.
No, never want to forget him.
Never.
You know, out of all the people who have come and gone, Brother Spivey has been a soldier, had stood
Amen.
By my side. I remember when we had the church split. And I counted everybody off. I said, I don't know who my friends are and who my enemies are. And Brother Spivey calls me up. I said, there's my friend. I said, I can count on that. And, you know, I appreciate him. And he and I have been through a lot together. And so we're like brothers, like natural brothers. We get with it. So I appreciate him. So I will be in some point going to go down, Lord willing, and check in on them. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's amazing to me that God has been so gracious to let us know what he has let us know.
Yes.
I mean, it's amazing.
It
We go places like I went to visit out last night, and it's not saying anything bad, but it's just it makes you appreciate home when you go. And Brother Childers is so right when he talks about the difference between Malachi 4 and Revelation 10. They can talk about Malachi 4 all day long, but they don't know what to do with Revelation 10.
They don't know what to do.
They don't know how to explain it, and if they even know there's a difference, people rush through it because they don't understand it. And really, the most important part of the message is Revelation 10. I mean, you can hit Malachi 4 on your way to Revelation 10, and you should, and that's what you should do because that's how we got there. But if you spend 98% of your time on Malachi 4 and maybe a percent or two on Revelation 10, that's backwards. Because that is not our message. You know, people think that Malachi 4 is our message, and they don't really feel like they've preached this message until they've mentioned Malachi 4. But really, you haven't preached this message unless you mentioned Revelation 10. Because, you know, that is the meat of the message, and that's what people don't understand. But I appreciate what God has done. Now, I keep telling myself, okay, that's enough. We're not going to do any more of this doctrine series. We're gonna get back to preaching and hitting these. But I got another one today, and I thought, well, okay, we got to talk about this. Because, you know, these are things that I grew up watching Brother Childers fight to keep. I mean, I that's why I'm on them, because I was there when they had the disagreements. I was there when they tried to convince him otherwise. I was there when he stood still and let them walk away from him. I was there and watched it. I know what he paid to keep this revelation here. It cost him his friends. It cost him the message believers. It cost him everything. I was there and watched it. I was in the crowd when he had those debates, and they would want to debate, but then when he'd get on them, they didn't like him because he was too strong. And he had to be strong because those demons that he was fighting was trying to take away our understanding of the hour. So as we're going through these different doctrines, these are different fights that Brother Childers has stood and fought for to keep it available for us, so that we can come here and rejoice on it. I mean, we sit here and enjoy the fruits of what he fought to keep. So us going over these doctrines, I mean, I don't even know how many. Joe told me, he said there's getting to be so many, he's having trouble putting them all on the website because there's too many to go on one page. And it's like we're just going over, and we're hitting the highlights. We're not even going into the depths. We're just hitting the highlights of Brother Childers' highlights, of Brother Branham's highlights. That's how this revelation's working. And so as we go through these different doctrines, every one of these were doctrines that he had to go and get into a fight over. Every one of them. He had to fight for every revelation we have. And it wasn't easy. I was telling Don, I said, I remember watching him. He'll rebuke the socks off somebody, then walk out of here, go get in his car and cry because he had to rebuke them so hard. As a man, it wasn't easy. But he did it because it was truth. And that's why when you're dealing with me, you're going to have a hard time trying to convince me of anything else, because I know what it costs to get this revelation. I know what it costs to keep this revelation and to even go over all of these doctrines. This is the most important time that we could spend together in any other circumstance. Because the doctrines are what will make you solid. The doctrines are what makes you different from everybody else. The doctrines what put you over, and the doctrines what got you kicked out. But it's the same thing that got Brother Branham kicked out. Brother Branham was, matter of fact, when he got to the end of his ministry, the doors closed on him. You know, I invited a pastor last night. I got sort of tickled. I invited a pastor to come preach for us.
And when I walked in, I didn't know it was a pastor because I've never seen him before. I'd never seen him as far as I know. And I got tickled because I invited him to come preach for us. I don't know. He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. He didn't say nothing. He just sort of looked at me. And I think, okay, breathe. Okay. It's just a, but they don't want to come. People don't want to come here because of our doctrine. They don't want to come here, and you know, our history is that Brother Childers fought, but he fought for the revelation.
Well, a lot of them don't know how.
They don't know how. They don't know when we would pack up and go to Easter service in Jeffersonville and stand out in the parking lot, and they corner Brother Childers. And you know what? We were just like our pastor. You know, you take on the spirit of your pastor. So when we go to Brother Baker's Easter services, we were bad boys. We were sons of our father. So we would go and we would look for a fight. We stood alone. We would get our food at the lunchtime, and we'd go and we'd sit strategically around brothers who were preachers and everybody else. And we would start a conversation because we love doctrine, controversial truths. And we would start fights, not fist fights, but we would start arguments over the doctrine because we knew we were right. We knew our doctrine was right, and it never failed. We would get in the middle of something, and before you know it, we are in the middle of it, just like our pastor. And Brother Childers, I remember one time after Easter, Brother Childers brought us down. We were down in the valley. And Brother Childers, he was down there working. And he called us together. He said, boys, let me talk to you. He said, you cannot go out and pick fights like that. They don't know. And he really calmed us down. And he humbled us. And he spanked us. But he was like, you guys don't do that. Settle down. You're running around with a loaded gun and don't realize what you're doing. I remember one time we had a Easter service and we sat up talking to a brother till I don't know what time in the morning, and he got a new birth. He finally got an understanding what the new birth was. And so we went to bed. And next morning we came out of his tent and he was telling everybody, and we're like, quiet down, because his pastor didn't even believe in the new birth the way we were teaching it. And then it was a mess. But we have, over the years, had to stand up and defend the revelation that you all are so easily able to come and receive. It cost us. So I look at it, and I look at Brother Childers, and now he's gotten through, because that was a phase. There was a phase we had to go through to fight to hold it. During the 70s and the first part of the 80s and the mid-80s, all the way up to the 90s, you had to fight. You had to fight. You had to fight. And you say, well, why would you have to fight? Because they were trying to water down the revelation. They wanted to water it down and make it fit to their tradition and their Pentecostal ideas, and it won't fit. You can't put this new wine in old bottles. So that's why Brother Branham said, when you come over here, you drop it all. You burn it all. Don't bring one ideal over here. You say, well, God's dealt with me all of my life. God was dealing with you to get you to the Word, because until He gets you to the Word, you don't even have nothing to fight with. But then when God gets you here, He gives you what? Doctrine. And doctrine is what makes you strong. Doctrine is what makes you unique. Doctrine is what makes you stand. Doctrine is what you use to defeat the devil with. Same thing Jesus used. It is written. It is written. You say, well, if y'all were kinder, more churches would open the doors to you. We're not trying to compromise to get in churches. If they never come this way, I will not compromise the doctrine that's been taught here that's been fought for here, that's been lived here, I won't do it. I'm sorry. If you want a compromised message, go to one of those churches. I won't even feel bad for you. I'd rather stay here with the truth than to compromise what people have died for and bled for. It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. That's why I said, y'all better be glad Brother Childers is here. Because there is one man I'll listen to. There's one man I'll listen to. And that's only for me. That ain't even for you. You can't even say that because you got to listen to me. You've got to listen to me. That's the way headship works. But he's been my guide. He's been my example. He's been my tutor. He's been my teacher. He's been my father. He's been all these things, and he's made me who I am. He's made me what I am. I can't preach one doctrine that I didn't get from him. I don't have one revelation that he didn't have before I got it. Matter of fact, when I come to this church, I said, I want what he's got. But I can say today, I have what he's got. That's where I'm at now. So I am deadly serious about the doctrines. You won't twist it. Jeremiah, he laughs at me because he says, you won't let me get one little ounce of something wrong. I don't. He used the example of, what was it, the well. He said, Jonah and the well. And I corrected him, it ain't a well. It was a fish that was prepared. He said, I won't even let him get away with a little thing like that. And you know why I won't? It's because if you get away with that, you'll get away with something else. If you get away with something else, you'll get away with something else. And by the time you get down the lane, you will be way off the mark. Brother Childers didn't let me get away with nothing. And I don't let my ministers get away with nothing. And I can't let you get away with nothing. I can't let you sit here and have your own ideas. I can't do it. It's my job to correct you. It's my job to rebuke you. It's my job to point you to me. I have no better man to do it to. You say, well, I don't listen to no man. Then you can't be helped. You don't even know the message of the hour if you can't follow a man. You don't even know the message of the hour, and you are fooling yourself. You are a fool if you think you're going to sit here and not follow me. I'd rather you walk out the door now and never come back. That's how serious I am about this. It cost me too much, Brother Childers. I've lost a lot more people than you. So I'm here because I am the ordained channel right now to take you through. And as long as I'm here and I'm the ordained channel, there's no other channel that you can use. Right. If you say you believe Brother Childers, yeah, then do what he said.
Yeah.
See, we lost a lot of people after Brother Childers turned it over to me because they didn't do what you said. You said, follow me. You said, turn it over to you. And there's only one pastor. It's not me and Brother Childers' pastor. I'm the pastor here. He's the elder here. He's the smartest man in the building because he knows how to pastor and elder and be a brother. I've had ministers try to do what Brother Childers do, and they can't do it. They try to be Brother Childers, they can't be Brother Childers. Like I try to warn them. I said, you know what? You get 40 years under your belt. You pastor for 40 years. Now think about giving you a microphone. I'll think about it. Anyway, that's not my message. I'm trying to get excited about what I'm going to talk about. But I'm excited because it ties into what Brother Childers said. You know, I was listening to him. Numerics is amazing to me. The numerics of him coming in a message in 66. Six is the number of man. And it took 7 years. 7 years. 6 is a number, God's number. 7 is God's number. Under Malachi 4, 7 years. How long? Now, I just thought of this. How long was Jacob? Did he labor? God's numbers. I was thinking when he was talking, I said, God, you're so. You put your fingerprints here and there just so we can know that it's you. 7 years he labored for his bride before he got her. How many ministers was out in Arizona? 400. Another one of God's numbers. Remember Elijah out there at Mount Carmel? And he slayed those ministers. He slayed those 400. God's thumbprints everywhere. From 73 to 1980. How many years? When did I come to the message? Brother Childers is exactly 30 years older than me. I'm exactly 30 years older than Jeremiah. These are God's numbers, and he shows us his hand in his numbers all the time. And I'm hearing them this morning. I'm like, oh, my goodness. That's not my message. They don't.
They don't know.
They don't have a clue.
They think they've got it.
Yeah. And God's man is right amongst them.
Yeah.
And they don't know it. Oh, my. Okay. I'm ready to get started now. I feel better.
It's amazing.
It is. It is. All right. Jeremiah last Sunday talked on the doctrine of the sequence of events. Finished that up. Beautiful series. I enjoyed it. Jay, last Wednesday, talked to the doctrine of the new body. Those threes, God's number, threes, sevens, 40. They're God's number. God's always showing us stuff with his numbers.
Yeah.
He's always trying to lay himself out with his numbers. Okay, now listen to me. Let me read. I'm not going to get anywhere fast at this rate. All right. Turn me over to Daniel, chapter 9. All these different doctrines that we've been talking on are things that Brother Childers have been talked about and ridiculed and rejected. And we've been talking on this for 2 months. 2 months. Solid.
Yeah.
And still going. On things that Brother Childers has been rejected on because of what he believed. All right. Daniel chapter 9. Starting at verse 23. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter, and consider the vision. Verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to the restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. Verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured out, shall be poured unto upon the desolate. Amen. Today I want to talk about the doctrine of 70 weeks of Daniel. Right. You remember that one? 70 weeks of Daniel. Controversy. Controversial. Many fights over it. Many people threw us away because of the 70 weeks of Daniel. Now, Daniel had a prophecy here, and Brother Branham felt it necessary to cover the 70 weeks of Daniel before he got into the seals, because he knew that unless he covered the 70 weeks of Daniel's, he would be missing something when he got to the seals. Now, he preached the 70 weeks of Daniel before 63, so you know Brother Branham was still probing at some things, trying to figure out how to best word what he had to bring. And when he got to the 70 weeks of Daniel, when he preached that, he preached the 70 weeks of Daniel in 1961. And he had many things that he had to cover in the 70 weeks of Daniel. And that message was bigger than he could even do in the period that he spent a couple of services talking about the 70 weeks of Daniel. And even after preaching it two or three services, he still didn't make it clear enough to the people because they still had it messed up. Do you know the denomination, why this is so important? Because denominations looking at the 70 weeks of Daniel throws a seven-year period tribulation. When you don't have the 70 weeks of Daniel straightened out, you won't understand what Jeremiah preached. Your sequence of events will be messed up. Because denominations think that we're going to have a tribulation period for 7 years. And they're preparing for a seven-year tribulation. And most people in this message brought that over to this message. And they fought Brother Childers over the 70 weeks of Daniel. And I was there. I witnessed it. They fought him over the 70 weeks of Daniel because he insisted that it was 3.5 years. And they insisted it was 7 years. Very controversial doctrine because it throws everything off. See why you have to have your doctrine correct? If you don't have your doctrine correct, you don't even know where the bride's going to be. You don't know what the church is going to be doing. You don't even know how long the tribulation period is. You don't know nothing. And it throws everything out of sync. That's why it takes every word. That's why you can't add to, you can't take away. You can't take the part that you like and throw away the part that you don't like. Man, you got to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Because he said he will dot every I and he will cross every T, and there will be nothing out of cater when it comes to his revelation. And it all has to run. If you have anything that doesn't run with everything else, then you better throw it away because it's not God. So even when Brother Branham preached the 70 weeks of Daniel, now he believed in the 3.5 years, but he didn't explain it to the depths that they needed to explain it, because when he finished preaching the 70 weeks of Daniel, people were still confused on it.
You know, he had trouble writing the Bible that himself.
He did. He was trying to find the words.
He really wanted to teach 7 years.
Mm-hmm. And when he talked it, you could hear it in there.
Yeah.
Though he believed 3.5, he was teaching it in a way that people got 7 out of it.
Yeah.
And he didn't have enough revelation to even be able to put it in words that people were clear. Because people, after that message, were still looking back at 70 weeks of Daniel. Well, just even now. They fight us with 3.5 years using the 70 weeks of Daniel. Because they don't understand that Brother Branham changed.
Yeah, they don't realize.
They don't understand what happened changed. In 1963. They don't understand that when the angel came, the angel corrected him and brought so much of a clear picture to him that he was able to definitely nail it after 63 where he couldn't before.
Yeah.
And people took the books and they have fought us over 3.5 years using the 70 weeks of Daniel's, trying to say that it was a 7-year period.
See, I had to change myself.
You had to change because of your denomination teaching.
Yeah.
Our denomination, all of our denominations was teaching 7 years tribulation period. If you go and I get tickled because, you know, they're trying to sell these tribulation packets out and they're asking people that they want to buy a 1-year supply, a 3-year supply, or a 7-year supply of the tribulation food package you can keep in your basement, because everybody's going through the tribulation and you need these packages to be able to survive. That's the church making money. Number one, the bride is not going through the tribulation.
No.
70 weeks of Daniel shows that.
Right.
Number two, even if I was going, I don't need 7 years worth.
Yeah.
Because the tribulation is only 3.5 years. So it shows you that the church world has it totally mixed up. We all had it totally mixed up.
Total mixed up.
And didn't have it right at all.
You're so right.
So Brother Branham wasn't clear, and I got some quotes here that I want to read to throw them in. I'm not going to read all of them because he's got a lot of things that I pulled out of the 70 weeks of Daniel that I'm just going to reference to this morning. And he didn't make it clear about the 70 weeks because people left that meeting still confused on how many years it was. You say, you don't know that? Oh, I do know that. I got the quote here. I'm going to read it to you a little bit later. So, Brother Branham said in the book, Gabriel's Instructions to Daniel, which is part of that series, because it was a series. It was a book. They put all of the services together, and I've got the book at home, 70 Weeks of Daniel. It's thicker than a normal message book. If you haven't seen it, they're out there. And that's what people use. You old-timers know they exist because you got them in your personal library. See, nowadays, we don't even have libraries.
All the denominations preach 7 years.
They all preach 7 years.
Because I come to it.
And they all preach 7 years.
Yeah.
Now, Brother Branham said that, and I won't read the quote, but I'll just quote it. And I'll just talk to it. The Jews is a timepiece. Remember what I said, God always uses numbers. He uses timepieces. He uses different things. And if you want to know what God's doing, look at Israel. Watch Israel, you'll know what God's doing. When Israel was scattered to the four winds, you knew God wasn't even dealing with them. Because the Gentiles had their time period. Matter of fact, the Jews said, let this be on us and our children. God said, okay. He didn't deal with them for 2,000 years. He turned to the Gentiles, and he's dealt with the Gentiles for 2,000 years. But what you must also understand is God does not deal with the Jews and the Gentiles at the same time.
At the same time.
So as long as God's dealing with you, he's not dealing with the Jews. That's why a Gentile priest or preacher or prophet or anybody cannot go and talk to the Jews, because they will not accept anybody except for their own prophets. That's why when Brother Branham thought back here, he thought, well, I'll just take this flight. He had made it all the way over to Egypt and thought, well, I'll just go to Israel and I'll do the sign before them and I'll open up a blinded eyes and they'll have to believe I'm a prophet. Then I'll preach to them. And God took him out behind a plane and spanked him.
Yeah. Said, you can't do that.
Said, you can't do that. You're a Gentile prophet.
You're a Gentile.
It's not that you're not a prophet, but you're a Gentile.
You're a Gentile.
The Jews will never accept a Gentile coming to their country. That's why when they thought they're going to be these new messengers, and they come up in this message with all these ideas of, oh, I'm going to be Moses and Elijah, and I'm going to have the power and authority, and I'm going to go over to Israel, and we're going to do all these things. You're not going to do nothing.
No, no.
If God wouldn't accept William Branham, he surely won't accept you. He took William Branham behind the plane and said, you can't go talk to the Jews because I don't even, number one, deal with the Jews while I'm dealing with the Gentiles. And number two, you're not even a Jew. So God had to correct him and send him somewhere else because God already has some prophets for Israel. He's already got a plan in hand. He already knows what he's going to do, when he's going to do, where he's going to do it, how he's going to do it. God uses the Jews as a timepiece so that we can see what he's up to.
Gentiles, 3.5 years. Jews, 7 years.
That's right. That's right. That's the way God does it.
That's the way he does it.
That's the way he does it. But see, now look.
Not to us.
Not to us. Now look, when God got ready to wrap this thing up, he had to, number one, create a state for Israel. Because remember, until 1948, they didn't have a state. Right. They were scattered all over the world.
Yes.
And God had to use the woes to get them back into their homeland.
Yeah.
See, all these things are wrapped up in Daniel 70 weeks.
Yeah.
Because Israel had to, number one, be a nation.
Right. 7 weeks is right if you'll put it in.
7 weeks is right if you use it right.
Right.
It's just like anything else. If you use the revelation right, it's right. If you don't use it right, it's wrong. So God, first of all, had to get Israel back to their homeland.
That's right. Yeah.
What homeland? The land that they all left. So God used the woes to get Israel back to their nation. First, they had to be a nation. 1948, they became a nation. The world wars drove them back to their homeland. They will never again lose that homeland.
No, no, no.
I don't care what the Palestinians say. I don't care what the rest of the world says. I don't care what anybody says. They will never again lose that nation. Because God got plans for that nation.
Yeah.
And the 70 weeks of Daniel is part of that plan.
That's right.
So if you want to know what God's doing with Israel, look at that timepiece and find out how close we are to God dealing with Israel. Because I said God won't deal with the Gentiles and Jews at the same time. When in history has the Jews been in the news as much as now? Think of how badly everybody around them wants to destroy them. One little piece of land. Not much property at all. Seems like they'd be better off to go somewhere else, leave them alone, and go do something else. But because they're of Cain, they won't leave it well enough alone.
That land belongs to them.
That land belongs to the Jews.
And they will fight to keep it.
God gave it to Abraham.
Right.
God gave it to him, and they lost it. And because God's getting ready to deal with them again, God's got to get them back to their homeland.
Absolutely.
And you wonder how close we are to the end time. 1948 has been a long time now. In man's eyes, it's been a long time, but in God's eyes, it's only been a second. God's just getting them ready. But while he's getting them ready, he had to do a lot. Remember, that's 1948. God put them in 1948 back in their homeland, but God didn't deal with the Gentile bride at the end time until 63.
That's right.
So though he put them in their homeland, he still wasn't dealing with them. He had to finish up with the Gentiles. He had many more things that he had to do for us. God's timepiece was getting there. It's in his place. But God still had a Gentile prophet coming on the scene to bring a restoration to the word because God himself was going to come down and take his Gentile bride home. Amen. Do you know when God leaves this time, we're going with him? Amen. Oh, my, we're talking about the coming of the Lord. He's already come.
That's right.
He's getting ready to leave. When he finishes with the Gentile bride, he's taking us with him. We don't have to wait for him to come. He's already here. Oh, my. We don't even realize the hour that we're in. We think that God's still got to come somewhere and he's got to do something. Do you know when we meet him, we're going to meet him in the air? He's not coming down here going to preach something to us and then take us up there. He's going to meet us. He's already given us everything we need to get there. You don't understand how important this message is. This message is your jetpack to leave the earth. God don't have to bring another message. He don't have to bring another prophet. He don't have to bring another buffalo, elephant, anything. We got everything we need right now. We got everything we need right now. When he give us the doctrine, he give us everything we need to get out of here. Why do you think we could talk for months on doctrine and never repeat ourselves and still only hit the highlights? So God's dealing with the Gentile bride right now. But he will deal with the Jews. Oh, yes, he will.
They're coming up.
There's a time coming that he's going to dedicate all of his focus on the Jewish bride. He's going to dedicate all of his focus on 144,000. He's got a group of people that's going to come out of Israel. His own selected group.
Yeah.
A group that's going to be different than all the other Jews. A group that's going to be different than all the other world. Could you imagine what's going to happen when God finishes with the Gentiles and turns back to Israel? You think it's wild now. You know, when I first come to this message and we talk about the two messengers that were going to be slain and laid in the street for days, I thought, well, that's awful. That could never happen. Well, it happens all the time now. It's coming now. Slay them and lay them there. They've drug them through the streets and everything else. We've seen it on TV. We watch it on the news. Now is the only time that the whole world can monitor. When that happens, it won't be odd. Because right now we think, well, that's an odd thing to do. So he just died the other day, and he was gone, missing for days before they found him. It won't be hard for us to see two prophets laying in the streets of Jerusalem.
No.
It won't be unusual to see that. It won't be out of the ordinary. It'll be on the news, if it even hits the news. There's so much stuff going on now. You know what? I was thinking the other day, I said, now somebody, there could be, I would think the other day there was 40, 50 people killed in a mosque. And because we've got people shooting and killing hundreds at a time, 40 and 50 don't even hardly get the front page. Unless you have big numbers now, somebody who's shooting two or three people don't even hit the front page. That's the hour we're living in.
Yeah.
That's where we're so numbed. We're so numb now that when that tsunami came and there was an unknown number, tens of thousands that were killed. It hit the paper for a few days. I got the paper home. I saw it the other day. Tens of thousands killed, and we just move right on. Next week, something else happens. We move right on. By the time God finishes with the Gentiles, it's going to get really bad. You think it's bad now, it's going to be really bad. When the bride's taken out and God's protective hand is not on the United States and we're going to lose California and the way it's going to be felt and the devastation going to be felt throughout the whole entire country. Oh, my. Thank God we won't be here. It's going to be bad. We're going to be so busy with our own mess that we won't even have time to talk about two prophets in Israel. Won't even hit the paper, probably. But God's timepiece, he's going to get back in touch with Jews, and he's going to deal with them because he still owes them something. Now, I'm not even going to deal with that. Brother Branham, he went into so much details in Daniel 70 weeks. He talked about the seven-day Adventists, where they started, where they got the millwrights were actually the first ones who were seven-day Adventists, and they thought the coming of the Lord was coming back then, and they got ready, and they put these things on. They were going to fly and all these things. That was the beginning of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I thought, that's interesting. But Brother Branham, ninth grade education, went back, pulled all this history in. And I'm not going to take the time to go into all of, but it's all there. Now, the Jews were declared a nation, and we're close to getting out of here. We, the Gentile bride, is so close to getting out of here. You can feel it. You can feel it. The song Nations Are Breaking. Israel's awakening. Signs that the prophets foretold. The Gentiles' days numbered. But horror is encumbered. Eternity soon will unfold.
Amen.
For the day of redemption is here. I like to say here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit. Your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up. Your redemption is here. Israel's just, the world is rocking. It can't handle it.
No.
Fires on the west. Hurricanes on the coast. Earthquakes in divers places. Man has gone mad. Everybody's turning on Israel. God's going to have to deal with Israel. It's going to take the hand of God to keep them from selling. United States will actually turn on Israel along with all the other nations. Israel will be alone.
Yeah.
We're going to sell out to Rome. Rome's got the money. Rome's got the gold. United States used to be backed by gold. We have not been backed by gold for many years. All we got is a paper and a promise. Rome's got the gold. Rome and the Jews. Wall Street Jews. That's why we don't like them. Because they got the money. They got the stocks. Rome's got the gold. Rome's drinking out of gold.
Amen.
They got so much gold.
Yeah.
That they drink out of it. They sit on it. They just got gold. They just got gold. I mean, we couldn't even imagine. So the whole world is going to make a covenant. And they're going to turn on Israel. And as bad as this world seems, do you realize it's got to get worse? It's got to get worse in order for God to say, all right, I got to take the Gentiles out of here and I got to deal with the Jews. It's time. I mean, he's got to get us out of here. We're his wife. He's going to take care of us. Joseph put his wife in the palace before he revealed himself to his brothers. God will have to. He won't break his type.
No.
He's a God of types and shadows and numbers. He won't break that type. He will have to take us out of here. So get as mad as you wanted the Jews. Get as mad as you wanted Israel. Take whatever you think you can take. All it's going to do is wrap this up for me. All it's going to do is cause God to do what he already promised he's going to do.
Amen.
And as bad as it's getting, there's still just a timepiece for me. Oh, my. All right. Now, Brother Branham said in sixfold purpose of Gabriel's visit to Daniel. He said, while in prayer, Gabriel came and told him, talking to Daniel, that there was not only two more years before they were going back to the homeland. See, the angel told Daniel when they were leaving prison, captivity, and going back to their homeland. Not only when they were going back to the homeland, but told him the entire destination of the nation. Think of it. The entire destination, every journey of earth, Gabriel explained to Daniel, said that he was sent to tell Daniel this great thing, how the prophets must have felt. And he told him that there were 70 weeks determined upon the people unto the consummation. That's the end time. Till it's all over. The consummation, he said, there's 70 weeks. Some of them allowed that to be months, some to days. Some, see, everybody's trying to guess what this 70 weeks is. Doctors and divinities and everybody else trying to figure it out. If it's just exactly weeks, there's only about 2.25 years or 1.25 years of it. And see, you there's where you got to find it to be truthful. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. For what purpose? For what? Whose people was it determined upon? Daniel's people, the Jews. This was determined for the Jews. And what was it determined for? Upon not only Daniel, but upon Daniel's holy city. See, Daniel's holy city. Now in class, Brother Branham had to teach this as a class. He turned in Professor Branham. Now in class, what was Daniel's holy city? Congregation replies, Jerusalem. See, Brother Branham was trying to show us that Jerusalem was given a promise. Not only was he sending Daniel back home to his homeland, but he was going to take care of Israel. And this was spoken back before Christ, 483 years, I think it was, before Christ was born, this prophecy was given. So everybody's looking for the 70 weeks, trying to figure out how to calculate it, trying to figure out how to make it work, and on and on and on. And Brother Branham, and I won't read it, I'll just tell you what he did. He's a prophet. He calculated that 483 years, or whatever the number is, and when he calculated, it didn't come out right. And because Brother Branham was trying to use the calendar, the Roman calendar, to figure this out. And he was using the wrong calendar. So then when he used the prophetic calendar, it came out to the day. And I won't go through all that. I got it all here where he went through in 483 years and the 9 years missing and using the different calendar, because remember our Roman calendar, some days have 31 days, some days have 28, some has 30 days, and all these things in the Roman calendar, all those things are Satan's tricks to hide God's truth. That's all they are, tricks to hide God's truth. So Brother Branham went back to the prophetic calendar, and 483 years is what was calculated, and he found it. He said, now, from the going forth of the commandment to the rebuild of Jerusalem was determined 7 weeks, which meant 49 years, and 49 years hit it exactly. Well, from the rebuilding of the temple to the Messiah was 438 years, so 434 years and 434 times 49 makes it exactly 483 years. It hit it on the nose exactly to the day, from day to day. See, God's not... He's not a God that guesses. When Israel was down in Egypt, God said, you're going to stay in Egypt 400 years. 400 ministers. 400. 400. There it is again. God's numbers. God's numerics. Perfect every time. He told him he's going to be in there for 400 years. God likes 400 for some reason. So God took and he did all he had to do in his calculations. Like I said, God adds different than we do. God totals it, and then he goes back and fill in the numbers to make it work. He said, okay, Israel, you're going to be down in Egypt for 400 years. So he said, okay, Moses has to come on the scene because he's my prophet to bring him out 400 years. I got 40 years in the wilderness. Moses is going to be 40 years old. He has to be born here. Listen, and when God finishes calculations, he looked at the grand total, and Israel, including all of Pharaoh's stalling, God calculated that. All the plagues, God calculated that. See, y'all don't understand how, y'all don't understand God's math. God calculated everything that he needed to calculate. And Israel left Egypt 400 years to the day.
Yeah.
To the day. So when God says 483, it's going to be 483. So Brother Branham went through and he calculated out, and I'm not going through all that, but he calculated out exactly what it was going to be. And then Brother Branham found out that there was one full week left that God had promised Israel that wasn't fulfilled. And when Brother Branham started calculating it, he found out that there was 7 days left that God had promised Israel. And God keeps his promises. He says, now when God's going to start, he said, when God's going to start this last week? When? It may be today. It may be before the sun sets tonight. God will declare it when it is. I don't know. I'm wondering, but I'm going to bring something here now in a few minutes, and I don't know whether you're going to believe it or not, but I just got to say it anyway. Anyhow, I believe we're at the homeland. The Jews are at the homeland. We're at the end of the age, ready for the rapture. The rapture comes. The church goes up. We're caught up to meet him in the air. We all know that. The stone that was cut out of the mountain is ready to come at any time. And when it comes, what does it do? Now, this is still in 1961. It does away with the Gentile age. When he comes, it does away with the Gentile age, tying it into Revelation 10.
Yeah.
It's finished.
Yeah.
When he comes. That's why I said he's not coming again. We always think, oh, when God comes, he's come.
Yeah.
Like Brother Children says, he's come and he's coming.
Yeah.
But when he comes this next time, he won't put his foot on earth. He's going to come because he won't put his foot on earth again until all the sin is wiped off. So God's got to meet us in the air because this place is too nasty for him. Says, it does away with the Gentile age. It's all over. And God completely quits dealing with them. No longer will God deal. When we leave here, God will not deal with the Gentile church at all. Do you know he's already started it?
Oh, yeah.
He's walked out of their seminaries and their synagogues, and they don't even know it. They're still going to church every day like God's there. God's not there. He left their buildings in 1963 and has never gone back. He says in the book of Revelation that he's on the outside of the door knocking. And he didn't say, open and let me in. He said, if you come out, I'll sup with you. You got to come out of her, my people. You got to be separated from all of that unbelief because God's not going in there anymore. You say, but the churches are bigger. The people are bigger. They have more money. They have more this. They have more that. They're rich. They increase with goods. They have need of nothing. Ever read that? That's the state that the church is in right now. God is already pulling back from the Gentiles. Already.
Oh, yeah.
He's already pulled back from denomination. He's already pulled back from the church world. And only one he's dealing with now is the bride. He's dealing with the bride right now, and the foolish virgin are contacting us, and they're getting what they need from us. But as far as the church was concerned, God's through with them. Next step is the bride leaving here. And when she leaves here, God will not deal with the Gentiles at all. Says, the Bible says, Brother Branham says here, he says, let him that is filthy be filthy still. Let him that is holy be holy still. See? What does he do then? He takes his church, the Holy Ghost filled. He takes us. What's the filthy? That's the sleeping virgin and them that come up for judgment way over in here.
We'll get to that on another mat when we continue this over there. When she's come up to the white throne of judgment and has to be judged by the redeemed, Paul told us not to take a matter to court because the saints would judge the earth. That's right. We're at the end time. Sure, now, all right. It says, and in the middle of the week, Brother Brown says here.
Three and a half years.
See, he was trying when he was teaching it. He didn't know how to word it or put it in a way that people understood him. Though he was saying it, it wasn't clear to the people. He said, and in the middle of the week, now, here's the 70. Now, if this is exactly what 7 years, each one of the weeks, and we've already had 69 weeks, then we have the Gentile age. In other words, the church comes in the middle of that week. Gentile age took part of that time because God was dealing with Israel. Jesus preached for how long?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. Part of that 7-day period. Yeah. Part of that seven, that's the first part of the week. Then the Gentile church comes into play.
He fulfilled half of it. The other half will
left. Then it's at the end. Okay. Says in the middle, it says, now, if that's exactly what 7 years is the Gentile age, and we know we're at the end of the Gentile age, then there's one more week left for the Jews. And he said 1 week, but he's talking the other half.
Yeah.
That other 3.5. That's why I didn't make it clear, and people took these quotes and made it 7 years out of it.
Yeah.
Is that right? And that's exactly 7 years. If that was 7 years, that's 7 years, because he said there's 70 weeks determined upon the people. So we know we've got 7 years for the Jews. Is that right? Now look at it. If there is a question, I want to know it, see? He was trying to explain it. But Brother Branham in 1961 was still unclear on a lot of these things that he was trying to do the best. He knew he had to talk about 70 weeks of Daniel because it's the prelude to the seven open seals. And before he opened the seals, he had to talk to that because that had the Jews part taken care of, at least half of it. So Revelations chapter 11. I wanted to bring this in here because this is part of a dispute that people have. And I wanted to bring this in here because this is a good place for it. I didn't want to preach a whole message on it, but I wanted to include it here. Revelations chapter 11, verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure up the temple and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. That's 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Everywhere you read in the book of Revelation, it's 3.5 years. It was never 7 years in the book of Revelation. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. Here comes the Jewish witnesses. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days. 3.5 years. Clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of the mouth and devour them, their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Now, I want to bring this in here because it had the 3.5 years period that God's given to the Jews. But I also want to bring in here these two witnesses, because this has also have been a controversy. Who those two witnesses are. And it is without a doubt. Without a doubt, our prophet told us who those two witnesses are. It's not even questionable. It's silly to even think anything different. But Brother Branham, and I got a quote here all the way back, and I won't go all the way back, but he believed it was
Moses and Elijah all the way through for a long time. I have an old quote where he said it was Moses and Elijah. And everywhere I looked, it was Moses and Elijah. Those two prophets that people don't believe it could be Moses and Elijah because they say Moses died. But it doesn't matter. God ain't afraid of death. Are you serious? You're going to deny the prophet because you think death is a problem for God?
None whatsoever.
It never has been.
No.
At the tomb of Lazarus, what did Jesus say? I am the resurrection and the light. I am the resurrection. If I need something that's dead, I'll call it back. What's he going to do with his bride? He's going to call her back. I ain't afraid of death. Death, where's your sting? God ain't afraid of you. So for you to deny that it's Moses and Elijah because Moses had to die, you're silly. Because God don't worry about death. Matter of fact, God already got Moses up. What happened on Mount Transfiguration? Who do you think was there?
See, he fulfilled the first half. We fulfill
the last.
The second half.
That's the way
so
it works.
We only got three and a half years.
But see, God took those 3.5 years and he used it to get back in touch with Israel.
Yeah.
He knows he owes them 3.5. But he also knows he's got two prophets coming. Because remember, they got to have the same salvation that we have. It's only one salvation. Do you realize? And I love this because no matter what they say about the Jews, they will believe that Jesus is the Christ.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
Do you realize the only reason, and this is the proof right here. I like eating this slow because this just blacks the devil's eye. Do you know that the only reason all the Old Testament Jews come out of the grave was because they believe that Jesus is the Christ? That's the reason they got up. They couldn't get up until he went to hell. And when he went to hell, he said, I'm the one. I'm the one you've been waiting on. I'm the one you've been talking about. I'm the one that said I was going to take you and bring you to a kingdom. And they said, you are the one. We believe you are the Messiah that was supposed to come. And everybody that was ordained followed him out of the grave.
Amen.
He ain't afraid of death. One little Moses ain't no big deal to him. So Moses and Elijah, they got 3.5 years ministry.
Yeah.
See, that 3.5 years is important. It's not 7 years. It's 3.5. 3.5 holds a lot in it. There's a lot going on in that 3.5 year period. I'm jumping around here because I got to get it done. But do you know that 3.5 year period is when we're going to be at the marriage supper? Oh, my. While he's dealing with Israel, we'll be at the marriage supper. Now, and you got your spiritualists in this message to try to say we're at the marriage supper now, but no, we are not at the marriage supper now. We won't be there until we are physically there, body, soul, and spirit.
Amen.
I know they say, oh, well, we're eating on the body word of the Son of Man, you lying devil, you. That's not the marriage supper. The marriage supper is natural. Like Brother Children said, don't take away my natural marriage supper.
Don't do it.
I pay too much.
That's exactly right.
Don't spiritualize this thing so much that it's no earthly good to you. You got to have a natural marriage supper because there's 3.5 years that is what we're going to be doing.
Yeah.
That's where the bride's going to be. That's where the Old Testament's going to be. That's where our family's going to be.
Yeah.
We're going to be at a marriage supper taking care of us while God's down here taking care of Israel.
Woo-hoo.
Those two prophets are ordained to go to Israel because they're Israel's prophets. They'll believe them. And do you know the message that those prophets are going to have for those people? They're going to have the same message that you and I are enjoying today.
Yeah.
They're going to get the reality of what this whole plan was about.
Right.
how God came, how God called, how God chose, how God surrendered, how God built a church age, how God had 3.5 years for them left, and they all they had to do is believe that Jesus is the Christ. And you know what? All of them aren't going to believe it, but 144,000 will.
Yeah.
Oh, there's more than 144,000 over there, but all Israel is not Israel.
No.
There's 144,000 that's going to be preached to for 3.5 years, not 7 years. 3.5 years, that's all God promised them. That's all God owes them, and that's all they're going to get. So they're going to be preached to for 3.5 years. These are all things that are to be, that Jeremiah talked of, the sequence of events. While we're up there at the marriage supper, the Jews will get their last 3.5 years, and that's all that God owes. But while God is dealing with Israel for 3.5 years, do you know who's going to be dealing with the Gentile church? The Antichrist. He's going to have full reign for 3.5 years. Full reign. If you think it's bad now, you ain't seen it yet. Oh, my. Nations ain't seen nothing yet. When God's gone, the bride's gone, our loved ones are gone, and the devil's cut loose on this world, he has no love for life. It's nothing for him to get on a 34th floor and shoot out of a window and try to kill thousands. It's nothing for him to drop a bomb, a nuclear bomb on somebody. It's nothing for him to try to destroy this world. And he will do it. Do you know when he finishes that 3.5 year, when God gets that 144,000 out of here, when he lets that last group get out of here, this world's going to explode. There's going to be an explosion. Yeah, North Korea's trying to get bombs. Yeah, they're getting them around the world. Yeah, you know what everybody's doing? They're rushing. They're rushing for that last explosion. They're putting bombs all over this world because you know what? This world's got to be blown back on its axis. We got to put the water back where it belongs. We got to get the world back on its axis so the weather will be perfect. Do you know if you get the world on its axis, the weather will be perfect. You get the world on its axis, the water will go back into the earth where it goes, where it belongs. Oh, my. Do you realize the core of the earth should have water down there? Oh, my. That water should be shooting up, vibrating. It should be evaporating out of the core of the earth. That hot inside of the earth pushing that steam up and water. You want to talk about, you're talking about, John, you're talking about lawns. Oh, my. You're talking about having that watering system in your grass. Oh, my. When every day is the same, when the water comes out from the bottom of the earth like it's supposed to, and it won't be a cloudy day because there won't need to be moisture up there. It'll come from where it belongs. But in order for that to happen, there's got to be a blow up of this world. This world order has got to go away. Brother Branham called the world cosmos. This world order will be annihilated. It will be done away with. And at the end of that 3.5 year period, that's when it's going to happen.
Amen. If you write and divide the New Testament, all you get is 3.5 years.
That's all you get.
Never get 7. Only way you get 7, go back to the Old
Testament. The Old Testament. And not know what to do with it. If you go back to the Old Testament, you'll get 7 because God gave 7.
Right.
And that
right.
is true.
Yeah.
But you don't realize that first 3.5 is already fulfilled. Oh, my.
Right.
Okay, come on. Let me get through. I'm pushing on down through here. There will be Moses. This is a quote. I'm not going to quote it, but I went all the way back to 1954, and Brother Branham said it was Moses and Elijah. And everywhere after that, he said it was Moses and Elijah. Why would anybody have the audacity to say any different? And I just want to stick that in there because I want to nail that doctrine down while I'm nailing down the other because it's all in there tied together. Now, all right, I am going to read this one because this is one Brother Childers always read. This is out of Feast of the Trumpets, talking about Moses and Elijah. You know where I'm going with this one. This is your quote. And at the same time, now, as soon as the church, the bride, is drawn together, she is taken up, and the mystery of the seventh seal, the mystery of going,
and the Jews is called by the mystery of the seventh trumpet, which is two prophets, Elijah and Moses, and they come back. And there is where the Pentecostal is mixed up. They're looking for something to happen. The church is done gone. And that's to the Jews. Brother Benham, some said, now, I feel somebody's mind saying, he was a prophet.
Yeah.
That couldn't be Moses. Yes, it is. Now, you remember, he can tell me your thoughts. I keep feeling that, all right, he says, let me straighten that out for you. It was Moses. Because here's your thought. Now, he's going to tell them what they're thinking. That's why I wanted to read this. Brother Childers, you used to read this all the time. You say that it couldn't be Moses. He says, let me straighten it out for you. It's Moses, because here's your thought. You say that Moses, it couldn't be Moses because Moses died. You're thinking it's Elijah. It's Elijah, true. When you think it's, you think it's Enoch.
Yeah. They thought it was Enoch.
They thought it was Enoch, because remember, Enoch was not. He never died.
He was translated.
He was translated. So they thought, well, if he was translated, then it's got to be Enoch, because Enoch didn't die. Elijah was caught up in a chariot of fire, so Elijah didn't die. So common sense says it's got to be those two. You say Moses is already dead. But remember, he could come back to life again.
Yeah.
He did. 800 years later, several hundred years later, he appeared on Mount Transfiguration. You say, after a man is dead and gone, done dead? Yes, sir. Lazarus was dead, raised again. And then he had to die again, see? Sure, And even the wicked will be raised up in life again and then have to die a second death. He's saying, that ain't no big thing for God. That happens all the time. Is that right? So get that out of your mind. It is Moses. Watch your ministry. Just exactly what Moses and Elijah done. Closed the heavens and sprayed fire upon it. You know what things they've done. So that's what Brother Branham said in 64 at Feast of the Trumpet. Just wanted to put that in there. Yeah. Just because there's people that'll be looking at these services and listen to these services, and I want to put some things in there that'll help them.
Amen.
I could have quoted it. I know it. But I want them to see it.
Ned Iverson was my friend.
Right.
Stayed with me. That was his dad. He said, question Brother Branham about Moses.
That was his thought.
It was Enoch.
Right.
And Ned said, asked Brother Branham, said, God show his dad. It wasn't Enoch. It was Moses.
Right.
Brother Branham stopped right in the middle of his sermon. And he said, let me straighten you out.
Yeah.
He said, it's not Enoch. He said, you think because Enoch was translated. But said it was Moses.
Mm-hmm.
His father. And Brother Branham said, let me straighten you out. Brother Ned Iverson said that was his dad he was
right.
talking about. And he said, I said, straighten him out. And Brother Brown spent some time.
He did, right there. That's why I read it. I read that because I know you've read that for years, and I knew you knew the history behind that.
Yeah.
So I figured you'd say what you said right now in this tape.
Right.
Okay. I got one more here. Question and answer on the seal. Brother Branham, I notice you're referring to Daniel's 70 weeks on the first seal message. I understand on Daniel, on the tape, that Daniel, when the gospel returns to the Jews, the 70 weeks will begin. Is there a one week, 7 years left for the Jews, or yet is there only one half week? 1.5 years left for them. Now, this is somebody who sat under Daniel 70 week and didn't understand what Brother Branham was trying to say. That's why I said he didn't get it cleared up when he preached 70 weeks of Daniel's. Brother Branham said, only one half week. Jesus prophesied the first half week, and we predict, as we predicted, only one half week left for them. Now, see, now, this is after the opening here, and he's looking at things, questions on the seals. He's got a lot more clear understanding on even how to answer. He didn't even bite his tongue on it. He says, no, 3.5.
Yeah.
Now, here's another one I wanted to read, because this is, I found this one and was looking at this and thought, oh, I need to look at this. This is in question answers number 2. You ever had that book?
Yeah.
Now, the question is now, see, somebody I know somewhere in here has got a question on that. That said, Brother Branham, you're wrong on the 70 weeks of Daniel. There will still be 70 weeks. No, the Messiah was to come and prophesy in the midst of the 70 weeks, 70 weeks, which is 7 years. He was to be cut off from amongst the living and made a sacrifice. How many remember that? All right. How many years, this is the question, how many years then did Jesus preach the Messiah? 3.5. Then there is still 3.5 determined. And Brother Branham said, and in Revelation 11 chapter, the two prophets, they prophesy 1,260 days, 3.5 years, still promised to Israel when the Gentiles are gone. How many understands that now? See, he's trying to get everybody thinking, seeing that it's 3.5, because people were thinking that it was other than that. Now, I'm going to skip Revelation 14. He's talking about the 144,000. That's the Jews. That is the time period that God is going to be dealing with the 144,000 through those two prophets. Right. Now, at the end, Jesus leaves us, and he comes back and reveals himself just like Joseph did to his brethren. Where'd you get those scars? In the house of my friends. Your family did this to me. At the end, when he gets ready to take them back, they will identify who Jesus Christ is.
Yeah.
And do you realize when they do that, they are going to be turned on by Israel? Do you realize that? Do you realize what's going to happen? They're going to accept Jesus Christ, and the other Jews are not going to be happy about that. And it's not going to be pretty, but you know what? They will join us there. They will join us there. Now, 3.5 years, Brother Brown said in seventh seal. So now, my Jehovah Witness friends, understand now that these 144,000 have nothing to do with the bride. You know what? I have personally talked to Jehovah Witnesses because I wanted to know. You know, I was a little nosy. I wanted to know how it works. And I remember sitting on my grandmother's porch, and I was in Louisiana. I think that was that time I was stranded down there for a month. And I didn't have nothing better to do. I was sitting on a porch, and these two Jehovah Witnesses come up, and I invited them in, sat them down, talked to them, wanted to know. And I asked them, I said, so, this 144,000, who are they? And being the humble servants that they are, they say, oh, that's the bride, but we're not worthy to be them. And I looked at them and I said, why would you go door to door and you're not even going to be one of the ones that are saved? That's that canned humility where you say, oh, I'm not worthy, but you know what? In their mind, they think, I'm the one of those 144,000. That's just they're humble. They're humbleness. I told them, I said, if I was not going to be one of those 144,000, I wouldn't be going door to door. No, like I always said, so my mother said, don't go to hell in a Volkswagen. I'm enjoying my life.
And I said, y'all wasting your time. If you're not even going to be 144,000, you think that the 144,000 are the ones going to be saved, you're in trouble. But Brother Branham said here, he was trying to address the Jehovah's Witnesses because they had it all messed up because the 144,000 are not Gentiles anyway.
Yeah.
So there's not one bit of scripture to support that. No, sir, they are not. They are Jews, the elect that were called out during the time of the last 3.5 years of Daniel's 70 weeks. Brother Brennan didn't bite his tongue there. Just spit it right out. 3.5 years. 3.5 years everywhere you see. 3.5 years. Don't talk to me about 7 years. I keep quoting this over, not so much for you here, but he's like, I got to get this out. And I cannot believe, out of all that Brother Branham said about the 3.5 years, all that the Bible talks about the 3.5 years, people have the audacity to sit here and argue with you that it's 7 years.
I know.
Now you see why we get beside ourselves sometimes. You think we're mad, but we're not. It's just we know what we know, and I've watched you fight them out. I've watched people deny it. I watch them walk away and turn it down, and I'm thinking, the prophet said it. He made it clear. He brought it out. He showed us clearly that it's 3.5 years. Why do we even have a discussion and a fuss about it? I don't understand it. All right. This is an interesting quote. This is a question and answer number 3. Brother Branham said here, but I was listening to and looking through the quotes, and I saw, well, Brother Branham was trying to get that point across about 3.5 years the whole time, but we had so much tradition, like you said.
Yeah.
All the denominations taught 7. So even when we read the 70 weeks of Daniel, we got 7 out of it. And they didn't tie it in to the later message where Brother Branham made it clear. They just kept their old thinking because that's what they were taught out there. That's what they believed. And they thought Brother Branham taught 7. So they thought, well, this is Brother Branham. And they didn't know about 63. They didn't know about the angel. They didn't know about it, changing the ministry.
No, no.
They didn't understand any of that. So that's why you had a fight with them. Brother Branham, when you gave the message, another question here, on the 70 weeks of Daniel, I believe that you mentioned that the full last week or the last 7 years will begin when the bride was taken in the rapture. See, these are people who sat under 70 weeks of Daniel and didn't understand what he was saying. Brother Branham said, no, 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 nah, nah, nah.
Trying to straighten them out.
He's like, again with the 7. Come on, people. Said, no, 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 no. You got that wrong, see? Not the full 7 weeks. The week started when Jesus came on earth. And, you know, he had to get tired. He's explaining it again. Jesus came on earth. He said, the Messiah Prince shall come and prophesy, and in the midst of the 7 weeks, he'll be cut off. And Jesus preached exactly 3.5 years, which is half of the 70 weeks. The 7-day weeks. Weeks, see? And there's 3.5 years left. He had to get tired of just explaining this.
Very, very plain.
Now, when Moses and Elijah come on the earth, which is Revelation, and Zechariah, Brother Coomer, your sister Coomer's question, there was the same. Now, when Zechariah 4 and Revelation 11, those two olive trees are so and so forth, which is Moses and Elijah, when they come on the earth, they prophesy 1,264 days, which is what? Exactly 3.5 years.
Yeah.
That's exactly the same thing. See?
You can't get 7 years in the New Testament.
You can't get it at all.
No.
Either who was this dear person is, very, very beautiful, wrote on paper with religious head, right lines on and things, and it's very fine. And it's very nice. It's this very nice question. But see, you didn't get it. Just what I said. Never did I believe that the whole 70 weeks would be over here. Messiah's cut off. How many remember that I was preaching up here? Certainly 7 weeks. Brother Brown just, it's like, I've been telling you the whole time. It's 3.5 years. We have been so dogmen to tradition taught that he had a hard time getting it through us.
See, Brother Branham, in his early ministry, had a problem.
He had a problem with it, yeah.
Had a problem with this.
Mm-hmm.
But in the New Testament, the ministry, when Brother Branham seen, there's only three and a half. You're dealing with.
Right. So, and coming out of the background he had,
yeah,
it was hard, but he had to deal with it according to what the New Testament was. But as much as he did, that question and answer was 64, I think it was. And all the way up to 64, they were still asking whether it's 7 or 3.5.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Revelation chapter 4:1, you don't have to turn there. Just to let you know, Brother Branham said, that is where the church leads. And I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven, verse 1, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must come hereafter. Brother Branham said in Revelations chapter 4, he said, Revelations 4:1, after the church was gone, then a door was open, and we went through, and all that were found that were in Christ was the door. And the same voice that was walking in the midst of the 7 golden candlestick, as it was the same voice that heard from heaven saying, come up hither. John went up. It represented the church going up in the rapture. We, the bride, leave here in chapter 4. And see, like Jeremiah said, like Brother Branham said, like Brother Chisholm said, like I said, like we've all said, like Jay said, you can't read this like a storybook. You can't start in chapter 1 and read through the 21st, 22nd, say, okay, we've got the story now. No, the church is dealt with here, the bride's dealt with, then you come over here, chapter 4, the rapture happened, but you go to chapter 10, they're called away, the Lord comes, the end of the church as far as the doctrine and a restoration. Then you go back over here, chapter 8, chapter 5, dealing with the seals. You go over to chapter 11, you got the prophets, you got the church, you got all this is bounced all over the place. And it takes a real preacher to be able to get through that.
Yeah.
That's why they can't, that's why they avoid Revelation. That's why they avoid the whole book of Revelation.
That's why they fought me.
That's why they fought you on it.
In this message.
Because they cannot do it. Like they're trying to read it. They're trying to read it like a book. And it's not a book. It's a revelation. Okay. Now, Brother Branham said, this is my last quote, 7 church ages. Brother Branham said, now, where will the Gentile church be while Jesus is making himself known to his brother? Remember, the bride of Joseph, when the two children were in the palace, with the two children in the palace, for Joseph had commanded, let everyone leave me, put them all out from before me, so that the Gentile bride was hidden in the palace of Joseph. Where will the Gentile church go in the rapture? Into the palace. The bride will be taken off the earth. She will be caught up before the great tribulation and meet the Lord in the air. For 3.5 years, while the retributive wrath of God is poured out, she will be in the great marriage supper of the Lamb. Then will he return, leaving his bride in his father's house, while he makes himself known to his brethren. At that very time, the Antichrist covenant that the Jews have made with Rome will be broken. Rome and her allies then sent their troops to destroy all of the God-fearing, word-abiding Jews. That's their end. We are going to be at the marriage supper.
At the marriage supper.
Jesus is going to come back and deal with the 144,000. The bride will be already gone. The church world will be in chaos in the tribulation.
He'll never come back to earth talking about the Gentiles.
Right.
The Jews. Yeah, but not
No, he will never come back. When he leaves with us,
right,
he will never deal with the Gentile church again.
Again. It's over.
It's over. The next time he comes, he's going to the 144,000.
Yeah.
And then the next time he comes, he's going to come to destroy the whole thing.
Yeah.
You got to realize that the first burning, as Jeremiah brought out, was a man-made burning.
Yeah.
It just burnt down to the stubble. You know, like a grass fire. Those fires out west, all they're doing is burning down to the stubble. They're not taking the life out of the life out of the woods. We'll give it a few weeks, and what will happen? You'll see that life come right back out of that ground, just like it had always been there. And you know what? When God raises them up for the great white throne judgment, they will get up in the same bodies that they went down in. And this time, when God puts that fire out there for them, it won't just be a natural fire. It'll be God himself. And he will destroy them and leave them root nor branch. When that happens, then the city can come down. Then God can now come back to earth to live. But that 3.5 year period, our 3.5 is over there. I looked, made a few notes. What did the 70 weeks of Daniel do for us? It showed us how long the tribulation period is going to be. Outside of that, you can't find it. It shows what God, when God will get back with the Jews. It shows the two prophets that will go to Israel. It shows how long the marriage supper is going to be. It shows the order that the rapture will happen. It shows when God will finish dealing with the Gentiles. And it shows when the earth will end. The first burning. All of that happens during this 3.5 year period.
See, most of the denomination only want to teach one burning.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Branham taught two.
Two. See, yeah. They don't see that first
burning. They had problems.
They don't see that first burning.
No, no.
And they don't even understand the second burning.
Right.
So they're thinking that God's going to do it all in one coming. That's why these doctrines are so important. It puts everything in perspective.
Yeah.
So you'll know that what was, what is, and what is to come. Like Sister Judy says, we may have heard these before, but even going through it, oh my, you get so much more. And it ties in with everything. This thing ties so perfect.
It does.
I don't know why anybody would want anything else.
I know.
I don't know why anybody would settle for anything else. But you know what? You have to have a seed in you that want this. You got to be a predestinated seed of God or you will never be able to get this. Because this won't come by studies. It won't come by your education. It'll come by the revealed word of God or you won't get it. That's why they're gathering in churches around the world today and don't have a clue about any of these doctrines. And we just feast in the doctrines all the time. Oh, my. What a blessed group of people we are. To know what we know. To have what we have. To have the understanding. And this is head knowledge. This stuff doesn't do anything for my head knowledge. It gives me peace. It gives me hope. It gives me direction. It gives me, when I see the world falling apart, it lets me know that I won't be a part of this thing long. That's what it's for. It's not to make me smarter than anybody else. It's to give me blessed peace in the midst of all of this wrecked world that we're in. This thing's falling apart as fast as it can, but the bride is getting ready to go home. We are so close to getting out of here. Oh, my. Come on, musicians. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful this morning to know who we are, to have this word so real to us. Oh, God, the bride is so blessed to know these things. It helps us to rest when the rest of the world's in turmoil, when they don't even know what to do. We know what to do. We're looking up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. We know that it's closer now than it's ever been. And Lord, this bride is so understanding of your word that we know the sequence of events. We know how it's going to happen, who it's going to happen to, when it's going to happen. Lord, we know all these things got to happen in a certain order. And God, we're right in the middle of it now. Oh, I can't just read the Bible and look ahead to see what's coming. I'm looking around me, Lord. I'm watching the scriptures live out right before us, right in front of our eyes. And oh, God, it's so good to see what side of the word I'm on. To know that I am the bride of Jesus Christ. And that, Lord, you said you would never put more on me than I could bear. And the condition of this world is so bad now, Lord, that it's hard to even want to even stay here. But, Lord, we'll be here as long as you have something for us to do. And the moment you're finished, we're finished. The moment you're ready, we're ready. We're not pining to go, but, Lord, we're ready to go.
Yes.
We'll enjoy this life and deal with this life as much as you give us, Lord. And we'll stay as long as you give us breath. But, Lord, the moment you see fit to turn to Israel, we are ready to move on. We got a marriage supper waiting on us. We got loved ones to reveal ourselves to. Oh, God, we can't even let them know for true who we are right now. But, God, when we get to that palace, we will, Lord, not only you reveal yourself to your brethren, but we will reveal ourselves so that they'll know who saved them, who stood in the gap, who stood there for them, and who we really are. Oh, God, when we get there, there'll be a day of rejoicing. Oh, we're thankful for all that you've done. Help us to appreciate it, Lord. These doctrines are helping us. It's helping us to stand strong. It's give us hope in this dark hour. Thank you for all you've done, Father. Thank you for Brother Childers' stance that he's had all these years that, Lord, many people didn't understand. And many walked away and most don't even want anything to do with him. But, God, your word is here. And we've got the revealed word amongst us. And we appreciate the stand that he's taken. And God, help us to stand as strong. Help us to stand there and not let Satan compromise us with the traditions of this world. But Lord, let us stand as he stood. He's been our example. I pray that I'm being an example to Jeremiah so that, Lord, if a time come that it's Jeremiah's leadership, that he will stand as strong as I have. And I can stand as strong as Brother Childers has. And he could stand as strong as Brother Branham has. Because Brother Branham stood alone. Brother Childers has stood alone. I have stood alone. And God, I pray that you'll just help us to stand. When all else fails, let us stand. You know, the Bible says in the scripture, the plaque above us says, be still and know that I'm God. Help us to just stand there, Lord. Not being moved and tossed by all the traditions that Satan throws at us. But understanding our role, knowing who we are and why we're here. Thank you for this truth, Lord. It burns my heart to be able to talk it. It burns my heart to know it. I understand it. Thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Nations are breaking. Let's sing as we close. Israel's awakening. The signs that the prophet foretold. The Gentile days numbered with horrors encumbered. Turn or disperse to your own. What page? 161 and the only believe. I try to.
This message does not believe what we teach.
No, and I try to explain it because now we've got another generation that wasn't here. To let them see this.
They didn't go along with me.
No, and still don't.
Still don't.
And still don't. But you know what? It's truth anyhow. Amen. If they don't want it, I want it.
Amen.
If they don't believe it, I believe it. If they won't stand with it, I'll stand with it. Amen. Brother Childers, a lot of preachers have walked away from you. But you know what? I'll be right here.
Amen.
You say you've been blessed.
I've been blessed.
You've been blessed by staying.
I've been blessed. And the rest of this world is falling apart. Come back tonight, expecting 7 o'clock. We got the roof done. Praise the Lord. Next step, they're going to come in here and take all the paneling down and put drywall up. So that's coming up pretty soon. So stay tuned. Amen. Probably the week that we have this work done, we'll probably cancel our midweek service. And just to give them time, because they're going to need a week to do this. So we want to get this done. So.
Amen. Desires to have some fencing put over here at the corner of the church.
Yes, the brothers, we need to get that done pretty quick, because now we've got the roof done. We don't want them back up there again, so we need to probably get together and talk about that, maybe after church, and make some plans. Nations are breaking, Israel's awakening, the sign that the prophets foretold. The Gentiles' days numbered, with horrors encumbered, eternity soon will unfold. For the day of redemption is here, and men's hearts are failing for fear. Oh, be filled with God's Spirit, your left. Bright, look up, your redemption is here. The victory is growing, Jerusalem's restoring, her national life long to grow. Today she is calling, her ladder ain't falling, return all dispersed to your own. For the day of redemption is here, it's here. Men's hearts are failing for fear. We should be filled with God's Spirit. Oh, oh, look up, your redemption is near. Heaven's powers are shaking, and many are mistaking God's meaning to be of the skies. God's church is the power that's shaking this hour. The day of redemption is nigh. Oh, the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Open hearts are failing for fear. Oh, bride, be filled with God's Spirit. Your lamp dimmed and clear. Bride, look up. Your redemption is near. The false prophets are lying. God's truth they're denying, that Jesus the Christ is our God. Though this generation spurns God's revelation, I'll walk where the apostles have trod. For the day of redemption is near, and men's hearts are failing for fear. Bride, be filled with God's Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Let's look up, your redemption is near. Oh, false prophets are lying, God's truth they're denying, that Jesus the Christ is our God. Though this generation burns God's revelation, we'll walk where the apostles have trod. Redemption is hope.